I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. It is Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 38 through 49. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him. For no one does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose their reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, the disciples were confused again. This time, however, it was not, well, it wasn't totally their fault. After all, it had been their ancestors who had reinterpreted what it meant to be God's chosen people. You know, in place of focusing on the responsibilities that honor brought, well, they decided that chosen was simply another word for superior. And because of this slight variation in terminology, the disciples grew up in a culture that was, in the words of Thomas Butts, marinated in exclusivism. And this, of course, meant that they felt totally free as God's superior people to exclude, condemn, ridicule whoever they wanted, whenever they wanted. As a result, when the disciples discovered that an outsider was performing exorcisms in Jesus' name, they assumed that it was not only their right, but it was their duty to tell him to stop. And when he wouldn't, well, they did the adult thing. They tattled. They went to Jesus. And they said, "Hey, look at him. He's not listening to us." But in place of being angry or put off, Jesus' response was something like, "What's your problem? He's not doing anything wrong. If he's healing in my name, he won't be able to turn around and condemn me. Get over it." Now, we like the way Jesus said it better in the Bible, right? I mean, because it sounds so much nicer. Our problem is, however, that we have 2,000 years separating us. And what stung the disciples seems poetic to us. Jesus meant for his response to sting. Because you see, He knew something that we don't always put together. Does anyone know what happened just prior to this event? When you get home, take out your Bibles and read it. The disciples evidently were somewhere without Jesus. And a woman recognizes them, and she comes up to them. And she says, "Please, heal my son. Make him well. He has a demon." Now, right there, we want to stop and go, "Oh, demon, yeah, right, right. He was falling on the ground and foaming at the mouth. We know what that means. He was epileptic. He was no demon." But that just takes the focus off of where it's supposed to be. The woman says, "Heal my son, please." And the disciples remember what Jesus has told them. "Anything you ask in my name will be given to you." And so they try. They give it their best shot. They're going to heal this boy, and guess what happens? They can't do it. So, can you imagine the insults and the ridicule and the snickers they got from the crowd? When there was this outsider who was doing what they couldn't. And when Jesus refused to back them, well, let's face it, it would have been less painful to them if he had just passed the salt shaker and said, "Help yourself. Pour it onto your open wounds." And what made the whole encounter even more painful is the fact that the disciples understood. They knew that Jesus was calling them on their behavior. But that wasn't to be the end of it. While they may have thought that he was being tough on them with his answer about the outsider, they had no idea what was coming next. Do you remember what he said? He said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones to trip and fall, it would be better for them if a millstone was hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea." Well, again, it sounds quite poetic, doesn't it? Well, what the disciples probably heard was something more like this: "I may have chosen you, but you're not superior. You have to understand that there are a lot of people who are just beginning to have a faith. And they're watching you and they're listening to you. So please, don't destroy what God has just begun in their lives." You know, if you read on just a little bit, what you'll discover is the disciples weren't listening. Because shortly after this encounter, when Jesus warns them that they have to be careful, They have to weigh everything they say and do in the light of the gospel, what we call the gospel. Well, it seems as though Jesus is tired. And he goes away from the crowd. But a group of mothers bring their children to him for a blessing. And the disciples attempt to send them away. Christians, like the disciples, we have been chosen and called out for very specific reasons. But that doesn't make us superior. We are instead to be reaching out and welcoming to our brothers and sisters who have been created in God's image but have taken a different path from us. And when we welcome them in, then we are to begin to establish the church as Jesus Christ envisioned it. Over the past few weeks, we've been studying the book of James. And it probably doesn't come as a big surprise to any of you that he was addressing the congregation that was struggling with the same issues the disciples had and the same issues we have today. How can we be both inclusive and supportive while at the same time hold on to that unique identity that makes us followers of Christ? How can we be true to our faith? How can we welcome people in? How can we do all of those things without developing a community that is influenced by society in place of the church influencing society? Well, according to James, the only way we can reach our goal is to remember three things. Do you remember those three things? God, Jesus, and prayer. Watch your mouth. Remember? Put a bridle on it. Be careful what you say. Make sure that the words that come out of your mouth build up and not tear down. Then second, we have to do what Jesus did. We have to focus on the needs of others. We have to put our wants and desires aside to make certain that God's children are taken care of. And finally, we have to be careful about the thoughts and the actions that rule our lives. And all of that sounds good. And we really want to do it. But how do we put the pieces together? Well, that's where the end of James comes in. The 8 verses that we read just a few moments ago. He tells us that in order to bring these things together, we have to be Christian in the best sense of the word. We must always act as if we are standing before God. And we must always speak as if our words are directed to God. And if we do these two things, our lives will become a living prayer. A prayer that will build a community where people are committed to each other and where Christ's love flows through every action that is taken and every word that is spoken. And so as we go forth to take our place among God's people, people with needs, questions, and feelings just like our own, then let us go with these words ringing in our ears and being played out in our lives. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful in what it can achieve. Prayer. It is the most powerful gift we have. And if we use it each and every day, if we stop and pray before we speak, if we pray before we act, then we will become those righteous people. People who become powerful in what they can achieve. May each of us be those people today. And all God's children say,
Amen. Amen.